Welcome to Whispers of Oxenfurt and the penultimate chapter of the Witcher saga as we are almost finished in this several years long journey. While there is one episode left from the novels, and hopefully the final one will provide something special, the podcast is not going away. I still have to do Season of Storms, and of course we'll cover anything Netflix or Seta Project Red has to offer in their respective futures. If you have not rated or reviewed the show, please do so now. It is the easiest way to support and takes so very little of your time. You know what? Go ahead and rate and review every podcast or show that you regularly listen to the next time you play an episode. But enough talk. Here is Lady of the Lake, Chapter 11. They rode through the dark and wet nights, these three demons on horseback. Children awakened in terror as their mothers and fathers comforted them as best they could. One of the women, dressed in black and white, her raven hair curled in locks. The other, young and ashen-haired, sported a hideous scar across her youthful face. The man, white-haired, with a sword slung over his back, as slit eyes illuminated his path. They entered the downtrodden village of Jealousy. The girl called out to a local. Last September, six young people were murdered here, four lads and two girls. Do you recall? After confirmation, the man pointed out where they were laid to rest. Fir branches had turned brown over the burial mound edged by brick and stone. It was made by the widow Golyu and the young Nykler. Golyu had passed on and was buried nearby, and Nykler had been sent off to war, and it was said that he fell in battle. I forgot, said the ashen-haired demon. I forgot that destiny tied both of them to me. She bent over the mound for a time and staggered as she stood up, her hands tightened from the long rides. The man addressed the woman as Falca, but she followed with a quick retort of, My name is not Falca. My name is Ciri. The demons continued on to Claremont, where coincidentally a massive fire had broken out at the local amphitheater, where animal fights and other forms of entertainment had been held. Huvenegal, a local leader, cried out for the fire brigade, but it was in vain. The theater, brewery, and granary he owned were all lost in the fires, but they were insured. Unfortunately for him, the insurance company was also his. The horrors of the fighting pit were infamous in their retellings of monsters tearing each other apart to the tune of locals singing and chanting. Ciri rode away from Claremont, leaving the legacy of the fighting pit in ruin. Who do you still have to pay back, Ciri? Queried the Witcher. On to the town of Unicorn. I want the residents to have a souvenir of what happened. After that, to the swamps of Periplet, to a cottage amidst the murky waters. I want the remains of the man there to be buried in a decent grave. After, to the settlements of Dondair, where the innkeeper may have been murdered because of me. I will speak to his family. I shall stand before them in humility and remember the expression in their eyes. I hope it'll save me from making a similar mistake. Do you understand that, Geralt? The horses bore to the wind with a vengeance reserved for the Almighty. Rumors of the wild hunt began to circulate. Three spectral riders tearing into the quiet night, leaving death and destruction in their wake. Tales were spun about war, chivalry and heroism, friendship and hatred, wickedness and betrayal, punishment to criminals and a justice that was always just. Legends grew about the Witcher and the Sorceress, the Tower of the Swallow, and the Lady of the Lake. Free with a moment of respite, the Witcher and Sorceress took each other in their arms haphazardly, but were greatly surprised by how much simple lovemaking had brought them happiness. A brightness billowed over the camp. 10 women sat around a large table. Bring her to us, Yennefer, a shadow ordered. I'm not afraid of them, Mama. They cannot do anything to me. The shadow spat out another command. We order you both to appear. We warn you that we will punish disobedience. The following day, the sorceress explained, I am going away. Ciri is staying with you. Then I will summon her, and she will go away as well. And then we shall all meet again. This is for the betterment of all. When we meet again, she said gently, I'll make up for everything. There has been too much silence between us. When we meet again. "We're off to the fairy tale country I told you about," the Witcher stated bluntly. "Every fairy tale ends badly, and there aren't any fairy tale lands," Ciri replied. "We're off to see Dandelion. I promise to visit, to return after." The Witcher's voice trailed off into the fairy tale distance. Milva, Kyre, Regis, Angoulême, dead because of me. A sword is a double-edged weapon, wielded in one direction. Its reckoning shall always come to pass. They entered the town square and happened upon an execution of Dandelion. Upon realizing it was him, Geralt thought to himself, "It is unfair. I know it was stupid and naive to think that anything ever depended on me, that I somehow influenced the fate of the world, or that it owed me anything. It is unfair." By chance, Dandelion was given a late reprieve by the Duchess and exiled from the land. The three of them rode north, not as spectral riders terrorizing the night, but three ragged travelers keen on a destination. Ciri says she will ride to Vengerberg to meet up with Yennefer, as Geralt will make for Rivia in that surprise of his. "Don't make faces," Ciri muttered. "It is only 6 days. 6 days we shall meet again. Goodbye." As she rode away, the Witcher felt as if a cold and awful claw had wrapped around his stomach. The duo made their way onward and came upon a column of settlers, Nilfgaardians being forced off the land they occupied during the invasion. Men, women, and children had to be supported as they walked, carrying their only possessions. "Please don't get involved," pleaded the bard. "Get involved? Rescue somebody? And risk my neck for some noble principle? Oh no, not any longer." At Montecavo Lodge, the dark-haired, dark-eyed Madame Al welcomed the mother and daughter. "I am no guest," said Ciri. "I was summoned to be informed about my fate, and so it shall be. As for Yennefer, her fate applies to me as well. We shall not be rent asunder." After being chastised by Sheila de Tankerville, Madame Al informed Ciri of her fate. "You will go to Covir with Sheila and I to meet the king and queen and their son, Prince Tancred. You will become his lover and bear his child. As you are no longer Cirilla of Cintra, you shall only attain the status of lover, a favorite. It is imperative he impregnate you as soon as possible." A wry smile split Ciri's face. "You called me a monster at Thanet's. Now you say I am one of you." The lodge informed her that they would cover her scar and make her beautiful again, and could take the name of Ciri Isleheart or Ciri Tankerville. But she only had one request. She is Ciri of Vengerberg, daughter of Yennefer. And with that, Madame Al says the matter is settled. "I have to think the matter over. I arranged to meet Geralt in Rivia, and I will keep that promise, with or without your permission. When we rode away from Stiga, leaving corpses in our wake, I asked him if this was the end, if we were victorious, if good had triumphed over evil. He smiled sadly. I thought it must have been from raggedness or burying his friends. But now I know what it meant. It was smile at the pity of a foolish child who thought the slit throats of Vilgefortz and Bonnert meant that it was over. I really must tell him that I've grown wiser, and now I understand." "You have not learned a thing," said Sheila. "You are an arrogant child who lacks discipline, and for your own good needs to be told what to do." The lodge then takes up a vote on Ciri, and it is deadlocked, leaving the deciding vote up to Madame Al. "That thing is destiny, which I, Philippa Isleheart, have only recently started to believe in, which I have only recently started to understand. Destiny isn't the judgments of providence. It isn't scrolls written down. It is not fatalism. Destiny is hope, believing that what will happen is what is meant to happen. I cast my vote. I vote for Ciri, the child of destiny, the child of hope."